You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Afternoon, evening, everyone. Welcome along to the Rangers Rabble Women's Show. My name's Brian. I'm the host tonight, and I am joined, as usual, by Wolf. How are we?
Yeah, I'm fine, Brian. Fine, thank you.
Good. Carr, well?
I'm not bad. I can't complain.
Good. Welcome along to British summertime. I know everybody looks forward to the clocks going forward and lighter nights. So, yeah, we're back in the norm. As I would like to call, I hate the dark nights.
It's nice to be looking at rain and daylight as opposed to in the darkness. Yeah, thanks very much.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah, but I believe it was a lovely day up here. I was on my way back from Leeds, so I didn't see any of the football yesterday. So it was a bit of a blur. But there we go. I was watching, I was getting updates from the guys in the car, and I was cringing because I was hearing the score and I was getting worried, and then all of a sudden it all turned out okay, of course, because Rangers beat Hibs 2-1. Carr, you were there, obviously.
I wasn't.
Well, were you not?
I should have been, but I held back at work. So by the time I got there, it would have been after halftime, so I just didn't see the point.
All right. But by all accounts, the first half was not very good.
Well, no, from what I've watched, I watched it back and watched the highlights and all that. And I mean, we had chances. I think Sarah Ewan had quite a good chance. We just, passes were under hit and over hit, and we just looked leggy or maybe hung over. I don't know the word to use. Maybe I shouldn't use the word hung over. But I mean, they didn't look their normal kind of perky, up to the task team. Just looked. But then the team selection for me was a bit off. Libby maybe isn't quite up to speed. I don't know if she's fully fit. Wolf said that before we started, but to me she just looks like she's not quite there yet. So a bit, maybe they thought, we played Hibs twice already, we know what they're going to be like, Libby will give us enough, and it just didn't work out quite the way that she hoped. But we'll come on to the second half, and the subs worked and everything, but the first half was just a bit of a disaster, to be honest.
Yeah, Wolf, it's certainly been a difficult sort of period, in the sense that we've not really hit any sort of good form like we did at the start of the season.
No, as Laura said, Laura can't be with us tonight because she's getting life get in the way of her podcast. That's shocking. But anyway, Laura can't be with us. But she said in the group chat yesterday, it's a win, and that's all I'm saying about it. So there you go. It's the shortest podcast we've done. Good night. Thank you. But we have been struggling a bit, to be honest. I mean, we were struggling prior to the cup final. You know, we drew a couple of games, then we got beat, and then obviously we beat Partick. But we only put the gloss on that when it once they tired. I mean, we scored, you know, a couple of goals to put the gloss on the scoreline after they tired. We managed to dig the game out yesterday. It was, as Carl says, the team lineup, which you're going to go through because you're the best team lineup reader in the business that we've got. I just thought the selection was wrong. I could see I can see why that was the team she put out, but as Carl said, I didn't think Libby Banks looked fit. She looked about a yard off it. She just, the way she was running, she was looking a bit laboured. I just think that she was maybe rushed back for a bit of steel in the middle of the park. I don't really know. And obviously, as Carl says, we'll go into the substitutions, but I mean, taking her off at half-time effectively changed the game. It got us a lot more possession, and it got us more attacking. So over to you for the team lineup.
Yes, and the team lineup yesterday was Jenna Fife in goal with Nick Dock as the captain, Cathy Hill and Middack as the three defenders. We had Brogan Hay, Rachel Rowe, Libby Barnes and Mia McCauley. And then up front we had Jane Ross, Sarah Ewens and, of course, Chelsea Corbett just behind. So is this becoming the norm now, as in the sense, Carr, that Rio seems to be getting dropped to the bench quite a lot? And she's favouring the Sarah Ewens and, you know, Jane Ross partnership. And we'll come on to it later, but the subs made a difference. But is she starting to realise now what her best 11 is now, with obviously what happened yesterday?
Well, I hope she's realised, because we've all realised pretty quickly. But other than, you know, Kirsty got injured, so that kind of put a spanner in the works of that partnership with Rio. But I don't know. Sarah does offer us something. She had a fairly, you know, quite good couple of games. But for me, it's got to be Rio and Kirsty if they're both fit and available. Or Jane and Rio kind of works together. But I don't know. You think by now Jo knows kind of the best way to do it. But she's going to get things wrong. We've got to remember it's her first year in being like the manager, I suppose. So she's trying things. And maybe, again, she thought, it's Hibs. We've played them twice already, beaten them both times quite handsomely, other than letting in a few goals. It'll be fine. We'll give players a rest. We'll give other players some minutes and see how we get on. But I'm hoping she's realised now, because we've only got a few games left, you know, fully fit, that's the team that needs to go out. And it's got to include Rio in some way, whether it's beside Kirsty, whether it's beside Jane, whoever it is. I think it's got to include her.
Yeah, and Rolf, this for me is the sort of the crux of the whole sort of team selection that John points out. The form's dipped since he's been injured, and it's amazing to think that we're saying that about a 17, 18-year-old that can make such a difference, but that is the case, isn't it?
Yeah, it has, because we relied on Annie for so much. But I mean, as we said at the time she got injured, we'll have to get used to her not being there, because with the best woman in the world, once she gets fit, she's not going to be the Rangers. Because she's far too good for the level of football we play at. She will get a big offer because of the injury. It might not be this summer. We might be lucky enough to have her for another season, or at least another 6 months till January. I fully believe if she had to get injured and carried on with the trajectory that she had, that there'd be some very big suitors coming in for her in the summer, because she's that good a player. As we said in last week's pod, she doesn't realise how good she is, but she really is that good a player. But We just have to learn to get by without her. I mean, the thing that surprised me yesterday was the fact that Liv McLaughlin got dropped. Now, I know Liv's played a lot of football, but I mean, when she came on at half-time, as I said, it completely changed the way we played. We got the ball in the middle of the park. We got forward with it. You know, I mean, Libby was trying the best she could, and she got the ball. She wasn't really getting it forward. She was, you know. I don't know, she was just opening it. You can't advocate for that when you pick the team. I can understand why Joe picked the team like that because Hibs were always going to just sit back in, because as Carl says, I mean, that's the third time we beat them in March. You know, I mean, rumour is you beat them three times in the month, you get to keep them, but why would anybody want to keep Hibs? You know what I mean? To be honest. And if that's offensive to anybody, hands up, I'm sorry, it was just a joke.
But
to answer the question that you asked the car, I think we have to, going forward, given what we've got left in the season, right? If they're fit, it has to be Rio and Kirsty that start. Because we even look back to the League Cup semi final when we beat Celtic. Rio wasn't having a great day at all. She was really, really, really toiling. But we kept her on the park, and she did what she does. She scores goals. You know what I mean? She won the cup, basically won the cup. Ty Forrest kept us in the cup. Then yesterday she came on. Didn't really get a lot of clear-cut chances, still managed to score a goal. You know what I mean? So I think you've got if Rio's available, fit and available, you've got to leave her on the park. And then hopefully, you know, put teams away early those. Then you can give her a rest. Then you can bring on Sarah Ewens. And by the way, as I said to Carl before we went live, I thought Sarah Ewens probably one of the best games for us yesterday. And I'm usually our biggest critic. I thought she was doing really well. I was quite surprised when she was taken off. But obviously, I wanted to see Rio in the park, so you can live with it, you know. But I thought Sarah was doing quite well yesterday. So having her to come on to give Rio or Kirsty a bit of a rest, it can't be a bad thing. It must be difficult to leave the likes of Jane Ross out the side, because Jane Ross is a hell of a player. So I don't know if she can find a way to put the three of them in the team. I don't really know. I don't know whether she would maybe rotate, because Kirsty Hewitt's just coming back from a bad injury. She's had one or two of those in her career. Whether Joe would look at maybe rotating Jane and Jane and Kirsty. But for me, you've got to keep Rio on the park as much as you possibly can.
Yeah, 100%. And as Wolf was saying there, Carr, for me, I'm certainly not comparing her to any at all, but Olivia McLaughlin is the closest thing for me to her. Just her general play, her style. She was very much the anchor of the cup final. She did really well in the midfield and she moved the ball around excellent. I was kind of surprised yesterday she didn't play, because it's not like it was a midweek game. There was no midweek game, so it wasn't as though she would have been tired. For me, she's the closest thing to any, and she fantastically anchored us in the cup final.
Yeah, she did. She's definitely grown into it. When she first came, I was a bit kind of sceptical. I was like, I don't know how she's going to get on here, because the first couple of games weren't great. But she's really grown into the role, and I think kind of it suits her now. She's not any, and no one will ever be any, but her partnerships with players, her ability to get forward, she's very good on the ball. She's very good at keeping the ball, which I quite like, because a lot of players are very quick to just get rid of the ball, which I think she was guilty of when she first got here. She was very quick to just get rid of the ball instead of actually taking a minute to figure out what she needed to do. But I mean, she's been fantastic for us. If we could keep her, I'd love it, but there's no chance we're keeping her. Not a chance. But, she offers us something, but I don't know if it was just a case of, I need to give minutes to other players, because while these are the best 11 she could put out every week, you're going to have some maybe not unhappy people, but people, she said after the game, Jodie trained really well this week, so she felt bad not starting her, and then she comes off the bench and has a massive impact on the game. So I think she's trying to find that balance of keeping everyone happy but also playing the best players that we've got. So it's just that kind of finding that balance, isn't it? But I mean, Liv McLaughlin's such a good player, for us just now, and she'll be a great player. She's got a massive career ahead of her. But what she offers us is just incredible. But same with, even Lizzie yesterday when she came on, I thought she had a fantastic game, which, I've not been Lizzie's biggest fan the last few weeks after her injury. She's looked off it. Her pace hasn't been great. But yesterday she had a bit about her. She was taking players on. She was, running up and down that wing and doing really well. So I think maybe dropping players gave them a bit of a boost almost. They come off the bench and then have really good games. So maybe it's kind of like, I don't want to be dropped. I'm going to go out and have my best game to kind of show, what I offer to the team potentially. I don't know, but could be.
Brian, it's an envious position. Sorry, Brian, it's an envious position to be in, because we're in a position we have good players that we can rotate in and out of the team. Because I think that's all she's doing. I think Joe must have looked at, Liv's played a lot of football. I don't know how much football Liv was used to playing on a regular basis, down at Villa. I don't know how often she got a game with them. So it's an awful lot of football she's played in a short space of time, which is possibly why she got, got the first half, which was potentially going to get more than that off. But we had to bring her on after 45 minutes. So it is a good position to be in, that we can rotate players in and out. So we can't really complain from that point of view. But as Carl says, it must be really, really difficult, for the manager to say, look, like Jodie, you've done really well in training this week, but I'm leaving you out. But it looks like there's a fantastic team spirit in the squad. You know what I mean? Because even the ones that are on the bench and not getting on, they look as happy as ones on the park once the game's finished and the job's done. So the team spirit that Joe's got in there is incredible. And it's, it's an envious position to be in. And the team that we say is the best team this week, we probably won't be saying is the best team in a fortnight. You know what I mean? It's just, it's one of those. You know what I mean? It's just the way it goes.
Yeah. I mean, following on from what Carver said, Wolf, obviously it's Joe's first sort of season as a manager. Is this maybe just, her finding her feet in the terms of selecting the right players and, sort of trusting her picks? It's very it'd be very easy for Jo just to go with the best 11 and that's it. But she's obviously a new manager, and she's obviously trying to find her feet and how to treat players that aren't getting games and not getting minutes. And she's obviously trying to find that balance, isn't she?
Well, our player management, our man management, if you like, if you can say that, must be really good. As I say, there's a great camaraderie amongst the team. You know what I mean? Going back to Liv McLaughlin, you would think if it was a case of that she was playing her players, she'd be playing Liv every single game, given that Liv's worked with her before. Liv, you know, came up here because of Jo. You know, she's had experience of working with Jo before. And you would have thought, well, if she's going to play her own players, and the fact that she doesn't, that shows that the rest of the players, like, she's not got her favourites. You know, because you can't, in that position, you can't have a favourite. You can't have favourites. You've got to be ruthless. And it's difficult. I mean, none of us have ever been managers of, you know, of professional football teams. And when you're constantly winning, when we've only lost one game this season, how can you say to somebody, look, you're not going to have to play for me this week, I'm going to put somebody else in? They have to understand the situation. And that is player management. That is, you know, being able to talk to players. I mean, even when they come off, you know, she's always got one for them when they come off, and they're all, you know, none of them. They play as a team, is what I'm trying to say. You know what I mean? They're all together as a team. And here's Craig coming in with a question. He's always impressed with Joe's media. Question for you, so Carl, you can answer this one first. As it's our first year, did anybody expect her to have such success so far?
Honestly, no. I mean, I didn't know who she was. I'd never heard of her. I'd seen what she'd kind of done down south, but, you know, the grand scheme of English women's football, she hadn't done tremendously much. You know, she'd won a cup, she'd played for Lionesses herself, managed Birmingham, what have you. But I didn't quite expect to go unbeaten as long as we did, especially after the first 6-7 games when we were conceding almost every game, which was unheard of for us because, like, last season and the season before, we didn't concede a lot of goals. So it, like, kind of got me worried then. Is the back three going to work? Is playing with the number 10 going to work? You know, is getting Nick and Rachel or, you know, whoever further up the park going to be a good thing? But quite quickly, I think I realised something special here, whether it's not brand new tactics. Managers play like that all the time with teams, but because we hadn't seen it, and I don't think there's really any other team in the SWPL that plays the way that we do, you know, that way, that, you know, I quite quickly thought there's something special here. And then the longer it went on, the more we kept winning, we got to the semi-final, we kept winning, and then I thought, well, she's building something here. And the way she speaks, you know, you can tell she knows a lot about football, which I think is quite nice, because a lot of times people will go into management because they think they know a lot about football, but I think she actually does know a lot about football. So initially, no, but now, you know, very happy, and I'm expecting more of her now at this point, because I've set my expectations very high because of how well she's done so far in the season. So she better deliver on that.
Brian, I know you're hosting, but I'm on a roll here. Do you think that that's partly something to do with her age? Because she's a relatively young person. She hasn't long stopped playing football. You know, I mean, Malky was, if he was a player, he'd be a dinosaur, right? You know what I mean? He was an older coach, whereas Joe's new to it, so she's learning all the time. But, you know, she can relate to the players because she knows, she's played in what is the modern game, if you like.
Yeah, I think so. And I think it helps her age as well, because she's still in her 30s. So she's not, as you say, you know, an older person or dinosaur, if you want to call it that.
Sorry, Malky.
She's very, as you say, she's not long retired herself. And I think the younger girls can certainly look up to her in the sense that she's played international football, I think 30 odd times for England. And she's, I think if it was a young guy and a 30-year-old manager, it's the same sort of situation. The younger guys can look at that sort of person and go, right, they've done this in their career, and I can relate to that quite well. And they can probably, I would say that the younger girls can converse very easily with her as well, because she's not that, well, she's older, but not that much older in the manager terms. And I think it would be very easy for them to, you know, go up to her and speak to her about anything, you know, that they're feeling or what they're thinking. I don't think they would be overawed by speaking to her. And I think just her general manner as well. She's never, she doesn't appear as a sort of shouty or sort of, sort of confrontational person. She's very, she looks a very approachable person. So, no, I think the young girls and even some of the sort of seasoned pro would sort of, you know, try and pick her brains and get her to, you know, ask her questions. Because I think, as I say, she's not that much older than the players. So I would fully agree and say that she's very relatable to the players in the sense that, you know, she's just purely because of her age and her experience, I would say.
Carl, something else, you just something in my head there. Sorry, Brian, that I'm taking over from you here. What Brian was saying, looking at the, you know, the way that they are a team, they're a club, they're all together. Do you think the fact that she's a female manager in the female game has got a lot to do with that? You know, they can come to her with girls' problems, women's problems. No, I don't mean those sort of, but you know what I mean? Things that she can relate to as maybe an issue that maybe male coaches wouldn't have. But she's also still got Hadji in there if there's somebody wants, you know, that sort of advice as well.
Yeah, I think it probably does, because there is, like, I've not looked that much into it, but I know there has been, like, studies done in terms of, not to, like, you know, the women's cycle and exercise and, you know, playing during that, hormones and all that kind of stuff. And I think she'll understand what that's like, playing during those times when maybe you don't feel the best or you're struggling with, you know, whatever. I think she will understand that. And, you know, I looked it up the other day because the picture of Nick and her holding the trophy, and Nick won't like me saying this, they look quite close in age. Now, Nick's 31, Joe's 39, so soon to be like 40 next year. But it's relatively fairly close in age. So I think they'd be able to sit down and have like a normal-ish one-to-one conversation rather than a manager and a player conversation. So I think having that relatability to be able to, like, well, when you played, you know, your last few games, how did you feel when you were struggling with your... Sorry, my cat's just absolutely wrecking the place.
Never a shoulder at a pet, is
it? Just chewing again.
I've got one line down here snoring, so...
I think it will help. And I think having Nick, Jane, Chelsea, even players in the team that have played for a good number of years now, have experience winning things with other teams and playing for Scotland, I think it'll all go kind of hand in hand with each other. But I think it definitely does make a difference compared to, say, maybe a 50-year-old male manager that's only ever worked with men. Because he wouldn't know what to say to them if they said, listen, I'm really struggling this month. Like, my muscles are really sore. He'd be like, well, maybe go do some running, because that's what I'd tell the guys to do, when it's a completely different thing they need to do, kind of thing.
Yeah, very much so. And Wolf, Craig, our own Craig, you know, I also get the impression that there's a lot of cohesion between her and Philippe Clement. Get the same vibes from them both. Is that... I would imagine that the men's manager would obviously converse with the women's manager.
Well, yeah, but I think I know where he's coming from there. They both seem have very similar personalities. They're both very, very good with the media. But again, they're, relatively speaking, both young managers. I know Philippe Clement's just turned 50. And as Carl says, Joe's 10 years behind him. But he was playing not that long ago, and she was playing not that long ago. And in the more or less modern, you know, they get media trained. And the level Joe played at, she'll be media trained, because you don't play for England, men, women, without having to know what to say to the media. Same with Philippe Clement, you don't play at the level he played at, you know, Belgian International, without being able to speak to the media. So they know how to deal with the media. I mean, and the media in Scotland, with the greatest respect to them all, right, they're not clever enough to get sound bites out of managers that know how to handle them, you know, and they don't. I mean, the two of them, I mean, Philippe and Joe, you know, they can both have a laugh, but they only seem to have a laugh with the fan media, because they know that it's fan media, and they know the angle they're coming from. But when it comes to the so-called mainstream media, they're deadpan straight. They give them absolutely nothing, and that's down to media training. And I think that's where Craig was coming from. That they're both very similar in that regard. And I don't doubt for a second that they speak. I mean, I saw them sitting together at the AGM back in November, December, whenever it was, because they were sat together at the top table, and it was fantastic to see Joe at that, because it's the first time the women's manager's ever been invited along to that. And they sat together chatting away. They did a Q&A with the two of them off to the side, and then they were back sitting together on the top table. They were chatting away, and they obviously got on really well. That was clear, you know. So from that point of view, they'll have a relationship. So I don't doubt for a second that Joe's not scared to knock on the Philippe Clement's door and say, look, what do you think about this? And conversely, I don't think Philippe would have any problem at all going to Joe, listen, a wee bit of advice, can you give me a bit of advice about this if he felt that was necessary?
Very much so, very much so. So we'll get on to the game, Carr. I think Rangers had a decent sort of start. You know, they were, as you would expect, on the front foot, but not long into the game, and Hibs win the ball in the middle of the park, and they work the ball all the way up the park, and I think it was their top scorer scored the opening goal.
I mean, she's a fantastic player. I wouldn't be annoyed if Joe chose to sign her in the summer, because she is really good, very physical as well. She kind of bullied a few of our players, you know, kind of first and second half. She was doing really well. But again, Libby not strong enough for me, needs to do better. I think it's Shannon McGregor that initially gets the ball off of Libby, and then it's a case of just putting the ball into, it's a Bochum, that's her name, path, and she just slots it straight through kind of Jenna's legs. And maybe Jenna could have done a little bit more, but it's more just down to that kind of defensive in the midfield, just don't let the ball get past you, and those kind of things won't happen. But Hibs, I will say, had, you know, probably one of their best games of the season, that game. I don't know where that came from, but defensively they were sound, and then once they did get the goal, they sat in quite well, but had other chances. I think it was just two teams going at it, and we had a bit of an off day, kind of 75 minutes of the game, and they had one of their best games for 75 minutes. So it was just kind of the way that it went, but could have done better for that goal, but sometimes these things happen. You've got to take risks, as Joe always says, take risks and things happen, but it worked for them and not for us in that instance.
And as the half went on, Wolf, it was, you know, we prodded and we probed, but nothing was quite coming off, was it?
No, we didn't give the keeper anything to do. I mean, apart from really the only thing that springs to mind is Cathy's 80-yard run up the middle of the park. She's let a shot go of them. It was straight at the keeper. I mean, you know, she saved it quite comfortably. That was all we really had. We were really, really struggling in the first half. I couldn't see where a goal was coming from. They were basically coming right through the middle, which is why, you know, I was saying, you know, we had to get Libby Barnes out of there, because it was just the game was passing her by for whatever reason. We'll put it down to fitness. You know, we needed somebody that could get into the midfield, stand on the ball, and actually push us forward, because we weren't pushing forward at all. And then obviously at halftime, Joe took off Libby and put on Liv McLaughlin, and we had an awful lot more control at the start of the second half without actually creating too much, because again, the keeper didn't have a hell of a lot to do in the early stages of the second half.
No, and it didn't take long for the big subs to happen, Carr. Off came Jane Ross, Sarah Ewens and Mia McCauley, and on came on Rio Hardy, Kirsty Howitt and Lizzie Arnott. Was there any of that subs that went off you felt could have maybe stayed on and made a difference?
Mia, maybe. Mia, there's always a chance with Mia that she can come up with a bit of magic. But again, she didn't have maybe her best kind of first half. She was in and about it, but she wasn't really getting any service. You know, doing a lot of back passing and kind of overhit passes and just kind of all over the place. But I think it was just the full team that was just struggling and it wasn't working. And normally I'd be raging that Mia goes off and Lizzie comes on, because Lizzie's not been having a great time of it, but you know, it worked. So I'm happy that Joe finally, you know, made subs at the right time. And because occasionally the last few games I've been thinking we should have made subs at half time, she's not done it. So I was quite happy that she did make that initial sub at half time and then left it a little bit, see how we got on, and then obviously I need to make more changes here, and did what needed to be done. So quite happy about that. But you know, she knows what players can bring to us, and obviously she saw the way Hibs were playing, that those three players could offer us something different than the ones that were on the park.
Yeah, and Wolf, a further change came later on. Jodie McCleary went off and Rachel Rowe came on. So was that a sub that surprised you in a sense?
Well, after Mia went off, the game was screaming out for Jodie. I'm always surprised when Rachel Rowe goes off, because you know she can always do something. You know, she's She's really good at keeping possession of the ball. She's just head down and run. As we've said before, only criticism over her is she sometimes gets her head down and forgets to lift it up and have a look what's in and about her. But she'll always create something. She's not scared to have a shot. If it starts getting a bit feisty in the last kind of 10, 15 minutes of a game, which the cup tie against Hibs got a wee bit silly towards the end, she's always one that doesn't mind getting in and mixing it up. So I was maybe a bit surprised at who went off, but I mean the game was screaming out for Jody. And as it turns out, it was a genius substitution because should have had them both the goals.
Very much so. And obviously Carr, one of the subs, made the breakthrough and getting the equaliser, Rio Hardy. No surprise. I must admit when my friend told me in the car who Jenks scored the equaliser, the first person I said was Rio Hardy, and I kind of had a feeling it was her. She's just that kind of player. And yeah, it was a smart finish into the sort of, I think it was this sort of left hand top corner.
Yeah, I mean, all three of the subs, really. Jody outmuscles the defender, who then gets the ball to Kirsty Howitt, who sees the pass and perfectly places it for Rio, who then just needs to shift the ball into her left foot and just passes it almost into the corner. As easy as she does, that's what she offers us. But, you know, all three of them, not immediately, but fairly soon after coming on, have dug us out of the hole and we're level again. And you could see immediately, as soon as that happened, the whole team kind of switched on and we're like, oh, hold on, we're still in there. So good to see that all three of them, you know, combined. And Kirsty Howitt does have that ability to just, maybe earlier she would have just taken a shot herself, but she saw Rio was in the perfect place and just gave it to her where it needed to go, and she slots it home.
And it was all down to Kirsty Howitt's quick thinking in the first place, because she took the quick free, yeah, she took the quick throw in. Ball went out, she just, I mean, I actually expected it to call it to pull her back, because she did what they always do. She went 6 or 7 yards further than where the ball went out, and I thought they were going to ask her to come back with that, but the referee let it go, which is fine because that's what they do. And it was Kirsty's quick thinking, because the ball had only literally just gone over the line. She grabbed it and threw it to Mia, and then Mia gave it back to her, and then obviously she put it into Rio, who stuck it in the net. So it was definitely, somebody picked it up in the comments earlier, it was definitely Kirsty's quick thinking that led to the first goal.
Yeah, most definitely. And Wolf, obviously, the second goal came not long after as well. I think it was Brogan that sort of fed it into the sort of very... I mean, Carthy Hill was pretty much unmarked in a very packed box and prodded it home to get us in front. And it was an absolutely monumental goal, wasn't it?
It was. I mean, I watched the Rangers TV. Although I watched the game yesterday, I watched the Rangers TV highlights earlier on, and they said that Cathy put it in on the half ball. No, she didn't. She just passed it into the net. You know what I mean? It was a terrific finish, and she couldn't really miss because she was that close. But why she was there on her own, I've got absolutely no idea. I mean, you need to ask Hibs defence. But again, as a team's tired, and we're taking advantage of it. We did it against Partick. We did it against Hibs in the cup tie. You know, we did it again yesterday. And we'll just keep going. We're relentless, absolutely relentless. Just going to keep going. And if somebody's going to win the Rangers women's team a game late on that we'll be struggling in, it's great for me that it's somebody like Cathy Hill. If it would be Cathy, or you know, or even if it would be Kirsty Howitt, or you know, one of the players that's been there a while that knows what it means. You know, it means as much to them as it does to us. You know, I mean, you could see Cathy was absolutely delighted. You know. I mean, I believe she said after the game that was all she did. It wasn't all she did. I thought Cathy had a terrific game. You know what I mean? Because she's very critical of herself. But she scores an awful lot of very, very important goals for us.
Mm-hmm. She does, Carr, doesn't she? It's not like she gets the fifth and a 5-0 win, or, you know, a ninth, or a goal that, you know, totally cements the win. She seems to get these goals where it's a winner or an equaliser or something like that, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I think she's almost wasted being a defender. She'd maybe, you know, be better being more of an attacking midfielder, because she does really well to get into those areas. When she sees the games at a turning point, she will get herself into those positions. Because it's not like it was a corner and everybody came up for it. It was just Brogan had it out wide and just got the ball into box, and she's just there because she sees there's a space there, I'm going to run into it and take the chance. And she done that a few times. I mean, very similar goals. I can't remember who it was against, but she had another one like that. Maybe it was a Celtic goal. No, that was a Struma. Yes.
But she was still in a similar position. Yeah. You know what I mean?
That's what I mean. But you know, for someone like Kathy, who it genuinely does ruin her weekend like it does ours if they don't win. So for her to go and essentially win the game for us, you can see how, you know, she's got the same passion almost that like James Tavernier has. You know, screaming just so passionate and so happy when we do well. It's exactly what you want from your team. And, you know, it could prove pivotal, because had we lost yesterday, dropped all 3 points, we no longer would have been sat at the top of the table. So it's massive. It's a, like, that will prove a massive game in this run-in. So for Cathy to win it, it's just incredible. But Brogan, quick thinking to just fire it in there, see that there's someone there. Exactly what you want your team to do. But after the game, Joe said, they know they're not beat. It doesn't matter. It could be the 92nd minute and we could be 1-1 and they'd still be trying and going to grab the game. And we've done it a few times already this season. I wish they wouldn't. I wish they wouldn't go behind to have to then come back as many times as they have. But you can never really write them off, which I think at a point yesterday, a lot of us were. I think we thought, well, here we go again. We've kind of bottled it almost. And then they just snatch it back. I mean, it's fantastic that we're at that point now.
Very much so. And of course, Wolf, as Carr said, that kept us top of the league. The fixture list doesn't get any easier for us. We've got a home game against Glasgow City next. So obviously, they narrowly lost to Celtic yesterday in the second and third placed match yesterday. So another tough game for us.
Every game's tough. We're now on the far side of the split. So it's, you know, we're playing the top teams in the league. There isn't, I mean, our split fixture started earlier than everybody else's, because we were only playing the top teams for the last two or three games, teams that are kind of around about us. So, I mean, even Partick Thistle, they showed in the cup final, they're going to be no pushovers when we get to be playing them, you know, further down the league campaign. But, I mean, basically, we go to Glasgow City. Next week's international break, obviously, which we'll touch on shortly, I'm sure. But, yeah, two weeks, a week on Sunday, we've got Glasgow City. The basic maths of that for me is if we win it, that should be them out of the title race, because there'll be 7 points behind. So that, with so few games left, that should see the end of them as a title rival. But we still have to win it. Hopefully the players that are away on international duty, and I've only got a note of the ones that are away with Scotland. I don't know who else. Well, I know Vic's away with New Zealand. I don't know who else is away. I would imagine Rachel Rowe will be away with Wales. But the five that we've got away with Scotland, hopefully they all come back unscathed. You know, because we're going to need, as much as we said earlier, that it's good to be in a position that we can rotate players. We need to have the players to rotate. So why don't we just start to get two or three of them back from injuries? We need to keep them fit. You know, the international breaks come at a good time. Same as the last break for the men came at a good time. This one's come at quite a good time, given that we have got some players just coming back from injury. You know, the downside is we can't get any momentum going. But, you know, Glasgow City, as you say, a week on Sunday, it's not going to be easy, because it's never easy against Glasgow City. But they're going to have to go for it, because they'll realise if they don't win, then it's basically the end of their challenge to retaining their title. So that should give us lots and lots of space if we can just keep attacking them. And as we sit here 13 days short of it, I'm fairly confident we'll beat them. But ask me again closer to the time, I might not be as confident.
And Carr, obviously, as Wolf says, you know, we're hitting international break, and it's came at probably a good time, as the players have had a lot of good sort of, you know, a lot of big games and tough, you know, cup final and stuff like that. So it has come at a good time, this break, hasn't it? And it'll give some of them a much needed breather and recharge the batteries for the sort of final running.
I mean, it has and it hasn't. I think it would have been good to have a game this Sunday, just purely because of the cup final, tricky game against Hibs. I think we kind of had some momentum, but I like the players like going away with their countries and whatever. And this might sound incredibly harsh, but I was so glad that Cathy wasn't called up, because I am terrified she's going to go away and get injured. And she's been massive for us since she came back from her injury. So I want her to get called up at some point and go and play for Scotland and have a great time. But not right now, because we need you. We need you in this title race, and we've got two more trophies to win. So I was glad that she didn't get called up. But I'm sure they'll all have a lovely time. I actually don't, I've not really been paying that much attention. I don't know if it's friendlies or if it's Nations League.
It's Serbia in the European Championship qualifier. Slovakia. I think Slovakia. I'm looking at the fixtures. I'm trying to work out. No, it's Serbia first, and then it's Slovakia, I believe. I think.
Yeah. They're away, and I think it's...
They're both. One, Serbia's away, Slovakia's at home.
Aye. I don't know. I'm fed up with these international breaks, to be honest, but only because I don't like the Scotland manager and we're not doing very well. Had we been qualified for, you know, the Euros and stuff, I wouldn't be moaning, but it's just the way it is. But hopefully they'll come back uninjured, feeling fit and fired up and ready to go. But, I mean, I watched the Glasgow City Celtic game yesterday just after our game because it was on. Both teams didn't look great, but I will say Celtic took their chances. You know, one from a header, Caitlin Hayes, no surprise there. Glasgow City did pull one back, but never looked like they were really in the game. They seem to have just kind of dropped off a little bit, but as well said, you can never count them out. You never know what they pull out. But so we need to be on our A game and play in the way that we know that we can. Second half yesterday, play like that instead of first half yesterday. But, you know, at Broadwood, anything's possible. I'm sure there'll be quite a good crowd there, hopefully. You know, the last City game was quite a fairly good crowd at Broadwood, so hopefully we don't move it to Ibrox and do something silly. But I'm fairly confident at this point with City, but, you know, anything could happen.
And Wolf, as you've just highlighted, a good point here from Keith. Nice to finish on a high. Well done to the new fans liaison officer, who was very engaging yesterday with the fans, offering photos with the trophy, great appointment with the club, and a step forward in the right direction. Good point.
Oh,
yeah. I mean, the fact that we've got a fans liaison officer, I've got a feeling I know who it is. I wasn't at Broadwood yesterday, so I don't know for a fact, but I've got a feeling I know who that is. Obviously, none of us were there yesterday, so we wouldn't have seen the person in the flyer. I'm not going to say who it is in case I'm wrong. I've got a feeling if it is who I think it is, it's a fantastic appointment by the club. It's somebody you know, Carl. I'll tell you offline.
Okay.
If it's who I think it is. But yeah, the very fact they've got somebody, you know what I mean, as in fan engagement, because they need to be doing more at Broadwood. They're getting more eyes on the team. There is, as Carl said, the last Glasgow City game was quite well attended at Broadwood. The one in 2 weeks' time, there's no reason it shouldn't be, because the men's first team are in Dingle at 12 o'clock. You know, that's a long way to go. Not everybody's going to get a ticket, so lots and lots of folk can watch that. Then go across to Broadwood. If doing that would mean missing kickoff, I'm sure that Witherspoon State plays in Broadwood, I'm sure they'd probably get it early. They'd be showing that, I'd imagine. You know, so you get to see it somewhere in the locale, I would imagine, before you go to the game. It's one of them. I'm annoyed because I can't get from Dingwall to Broadwood in an hour. It's just physically impossible. But luckily, I'm not driving, so I can watch it on my phone on the way home. But yeah, it should be a decent crowd. They are missing a trick, though, because they could be, like Carl said numerous times, Laura said it as well, they should be doing their best to sell merchandise. No, they should have a merchant. I mean, they've now got a fan liaison officer, so let's hope the club can get, you know, even a little merchandise table like they do at Glasgow City. I mean, Glasgow City's got a little merchandise table there. It doesn't do great, but it ticks away. You know, there's so many new supporters going to the games. And the games we've had at Ibrox, look at the stuff that the young fans are coming in with, the new stuff out of the club shop. I'm not saying take an entire club shop there, but I mean they can even go, Castor's got a mobile unit, even take that and put it in the car park. That would be a start, you know what I mean? You know, and okay, that's maybe taken away from Laura and Carl's merchandise, but it all helps get, you know, you can never have too much Ranger stuff, let's be honest. You know, and the club are seriously missing a trick. They're asking people to pop along. I mean, they did a cracking five ticket deal for the last five home games of the season, including Celtic and Glasgow City and the Hibs game yesterday. I think it was £30, £25 if you had my jersey. You know, the tickets aren't great because there's no barcodes on them. People are getting all confused. Is this actually a ticket? Is this just some email? What is it? But, you know, so they're doing initiatives like that. So it is getting better. You know, I still think Broadwood's the wrong venue for it, but don't ask me where we should be going. But yeah, that's it. That is good that we've got a fan liaison officer. Okay, then looking at one of the comments, yeah, the fan liaison officer is who I think it is, and he spelled our name wrong, but that's okay.
But I mean, it's just nice, Carl, that they've like appointed one solely for the ladies' matches, you know, or the ladies', you know, supporters. It'd be very easy just to think it would have been probably lazy as well, just to appoint the current men's SLO for just to tag him into that as well. But I think it's nice that they've went down a different route and, you know, appointed their own one.
Yeah, well, I mean, me and Laura have been saying since we started, really, that they need one. And they said, oh, we're working on it. And they did initially announce someone, and we all thought it was Claire Gemmell, you know, previous captain after she retired. And then that disappeared and it was never mentioned again. And we never really found out what happened there. So I don't know if maybe they did try and appoint somebody that didn't work. I don't know. But it'd be nice if they actually like kind of put out something saying, listen, we've got one now. So any problems, email or whatever you need to do to get into contact, any ideas, blah, 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 that kind of stuff. Because right now, I don't think people actually know, you know, especially the women's side of things. I know Greg is involved and he's got his assistant who's very much on top of the women's game. You know, it wasn't initially her job, but she loves the team that much that she's kind of taken her own initiative into it and kind of done that. So I'm guessing they've maybe appointed, you know, the fan liaison for the women's team because it's maybe taking too much away from her actual job kind of thing. But it'd be nice if they put something out. It's nice that they did the trophy thing yesterday, you know, come get your photo with the trophy rather than what they did with the men and charge folk to be able to go and, you know, take a picture of it. It's nice that it was there. It'd be nice if they did more things like that. It wouldn't be difficult for them to do what they did at Tynecastle and just have a wee table with some hoodies, some scarves, some Broxy Bear teddies, all that kind of stuff on it, just to make it feel a little bit more like a home. Just because you walk into Broadwood, yes, there's some Rangers branding kind of on walls and stuff, but it doesn't actually feel like home. But if you had that, if you had somewhere people could go and buy and it's got like sort of kind of tap from the Ranger shop, it gives people more opportunity then. And we've said this to them for long enough and they keep saying yes, it's on our list, but they never seem to get around to it. But there is surveys for people that go to the game after the games, can fill them in with stuff that they want. So if you have been to the games or you've got a women's season ticket, if you've not been to the game, you can still fill it in anyway. Just keep, you know, at them about stuff that you want to see and they'll eventually get to, because I know they do look at the data from those surveys. So it's quite good that they're actually doing something. But you know, still a long way to go, but we're getting there. We're a hell of a lot closer to where we should be than we were, say, two or three seasons ago. So they're getting there, to give them some credit.
Very much so. And as you say, credit where credit's due. That is it, folks. We've got the main phone-in pod at 7:30, so join us for that.
Brian, before we go, I don't think we mentioned it last week. I can't actually remember when it broke, the semi-final date. Did we talk about that last week? Was that a thing last week?
No, we didn't know last week.
Right, I didn't think we did. So, obviously, the semi-final of the Scottish Cup against them who, I can't call them what I want to call them because it's now April the 1st and there's new laws in place. So, let's just say our friends from the east end of the city will take place at Hampden Park in Glasgow, Scotland's National Stadium, which I said with a straight face. On Saturday, the 27th of April, with a 12:15 kickoff, and it'll be live on BBC One Scotland, or BBC Scotland even. So hopefully, and this is me on the soap, my fixture soapbox again, I'm hoping that's the first weekend of the men's split. So I'm kind of banking on the fact that that'll be the last Old Firm game of the season, and they'll play that on the Sunday, which means that both Rangers fans and Celtic fans can go to the women's semi-final at Hampden on a Saturday. That would make complete sense to me. But when does complete sense ever work with the SPFL? Because I'll guarantee somebody will say, but there's another semi-final at Hampden, and Hampden's quite close to Parkhead, and we can't have the two at the same time. That'll be their excuse, I would imagine. However, I'm ever hopeful till they announce the split fixtures, because it would be wonderful to get as many people along Hampden as we can. And not trying to be a cynic, if it's not the Old Firm game that weekend, I'll guarantee I know who plays on the Saturday, and it won't be them.
Very much so. Very much so. But as we've just said, there's an international break now, so we'll have a wee break from the women's stuff unless something pops up or something needs discussed. But it's fabulous.
Carl's dying to come on next week and do a solo international podcast. So
well, I'm not, because I'm actually watching. Working. I'm actually back on back shift that week, so I'm actually not going to the game. So there'd be no point, because it'd be 11 o'clock at night and I wouldn't have seen the game, so it'd be a bit daft.
You didn't even know what the fixture was, so there's no point anyway.
I thought with your vast knowledge of international football, Wilf, you'd have been able to do that no problem.
Oh, don't get me started.
I didn't even know who or when they were playing until you told us, and I'm still not sure, to be honest.
But anyway, as I said, there's an international break now, so we will have a wee break from the ladies' pods just to recharge the batteries and get ready for the running.
Before we go, there was a question that was asked that I completely forgot about. Sorry, Paul. You've just reminded us. In a word, Brian, the back against them?
No. They know the rules. They know what they should be doing. I would say stick with it. It's obviously injuries and, you know, stuff like that that's happening. I mean, if Rachel McLaughlin comes back after the international break, that'll be huge, because we'll then get, hopefully, Nick and Rachel on either side, and that makes a huge difference for us. I would say stick with the formation. They know they're drilled in that now. I can't see how you would change now at this stage of the season and, you know, not say panic mode, but change the formation just to, you know, for the run-in. I would just leave it as is, personally.
Okay, apologies, Paul. I highlighted that and completely forgot about it. I agree. I don't think we'll change it at this stage in the season, but the option's always there, I suppose, if we need to.
No. Give them too much respect. I think it gives them too much respect if we go and change the system just to play against them. Keep it the way it is. We know what we're doing. We'll be fine.
Absolutely. But as I say, the phone-in is coming up at 7:30, so we'll go and get a brew or whatever and recharge the batteries. And we'll.
That means Brian's on the phone-in.
Correct. So I'm away to get a brew, get set up, and it's 7:30. So it's been fabulous having you. We shall see you after the international break. And see you soon.
Sports Social Podcast Network.